Let's all bow our heads. Our Father, you're our Savior, you're our Lord. You're our Redeemer, and you're the one that's going to come back and take us out of this old sinful world. Father, you created us and made us, and you know all about us. You know our very intentions of our heart. You know everything that we've done in life. And Father, we come to you confessing all our sins to thee first. And then, Lord, we come, Father, praying that you'll just help us stand here tonight and be a blessing to someone. Maybe one soul here tonight be lost without thee, and they'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as their personal Savior. Lord, what a joy it is in knowing you. And, Father, may they receive that joy tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. And amen. I remember this, and I'll tell this, and we'll go from there. When Preacher Carl was pastor here, every time he scheduled our revival, it was on World Series week. And so me and him was talking one day, and I don't think he ever had it. He liked it just as good as we do. And I don't believe he ever had scheduled revival after that on World Series week. He said, we're going to have to pray for the revival. I said, why don't you just go ahead and schedule it on World Series week? I don't believe you ever did schedule that one time I remember on the World Series week. But Brother Roberts already mentioned to me about the World Series. But you know something? That's all going to pass away. I love it as good as anybody does. I like to watch ball games. I used to love to play. And that's about all I'd done until I was about 23 years old. All kinds of sports. But you know, when the Lord laid his hand on me, that's the hardest thing I had to give up. That was hard for me to quit. And I guess that's the reason you had such a hard time about me. But I won't try to be too long tonight. I don't preach over air, but tonight I'll try to hold it to about 59 minutes. Fair enough, ain't it? Let me get me a swallow of water, then we'll get started. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Can anybody here quote the first verse in the Bible? If you can't, shame on you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, let me say this before I get started. We know that God is the creator of all things. And we're going to find out a little bit about that just in a few minutes. But when I was in school, they was talking about they finding fossils and all this stuff that was over a million years old. Well, I said, I'd been under preaching all my life. And in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I thought that was the beginning of everything. But you know, he said, they ain't no, in the beginning, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You can't trace no beginning, you can't trace no ending. And so I thought they was crazy, but you know something? In the beginning, he done this, and this is the first verse in the Bible. And he created the heaven and the earth. But now between the first verse and the next verse, there's something happened. This whole world is turned upside down. And I'm just going to say just a little bit about this. I believe that this is whenever that the devil was thrown out of heaven. That catastrophe happened. And he was thrown on this earth to be the prince and power of the air. And he's been running up and down this country to and fro ever since that day. But I don't know how long he stayed down here before man has ever made. It could have been 1 million years, 2 million years, but I ain't going to question that. God, as Brother Wynn said Sunday, God put down just exactly in his word what we need to know. Have you ever had a stupid question asked to you? I had one, not just one, but I've had plenty of them. One time somebody asked me where Cain got his wife. I sold him over in land of Nod. So where'd they come from? I said, they come from Adam and Eve. Because they're, she's the mother of all. But anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. But that creation, God done some creating here in the first chapter of Genesis. He created all things. And I'm going to kind of make it just kind of short. You've all read this, and if you ain't, you ought to go home and read it. But anyway, in the first chapter, he done a lot of creating. And it's not as much as you might think. A lot of it is already created in the beginning. And he just turned everything on, but he done some creating. He created the animal life. He created the man life. And he worked for 6 days. And every day, at the end of the day, you know what he said? How many? Don't look at your Bible. At the end of the day, what did he say? It was good, wasn't it? You ever see anything that God didn't make good? And everything he ever done wasn't good? But on the sixth day, it was a little different, wasn't it? What did he say then after the day's work? It was different. He said, good, 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 good. And the last day, the sixth day he worked, he said it was, his creation was very good. And all the creation he had done, and plumbed down the man now, and the sixth day he created man. But on the seventh day, the Bible says, he rested from all his work. Now, did you know something? Well, I know you do. So I'd rather preach to people that studies the Bible than those that don't. God created us in his own image. He made man just like him. But he made him out of the dust. He took the earth and made him. It wasn't heavenly. That come from heaven was the breath of life. And so he created the heavens and the earth, the animals and all that. And then he made man and put man over all the other fleshly things that had breath. That's the animals and the creatures of all. That's the reason whenever you get after a cat, it takes off. Sometimes they'll jump you, but they've got fear of man. And God put him over them, and you know what? He also let him name every animal, every creature, and all that. You know why? He made him in his own image, and man had to have something to look over. God looks over the world and looks over man, and man had to have something to look over too, because he made him in his own image. Now that's getting short. But now let's go back to the Sabbath day now, or the day he rested, 6 days. You know what the seventh day is made for? It was made for man. You know what for? To rest. You know why he done that? Now this is my own opinion. You know why he done that? Man didn't have enough sense to rest. And you can see that now. people out mowing the yard every Sunday morning. And the Sabbath day is on Saturday, but we worship the Lord Jesus Christ because of the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We go on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. When we was growing up, you'll never see, I'm talking about lost people and all that, you'll never see them put their hay up. Once in a while, you might run across one, think it's going to rain next Monday, and they get out there and work on them, but they work themselves to death. You remember at one time, Preacher Art was preaching here, and he said, man is working herself to death. The devil's got them working herself to death. And the devil has got you working yourself to death. Some of us, I'm just going to say it, some of you right here can't wait to get out of here, go do whatever you're planning on doing after church. That's the way man's mind runs. But if we'd come in the house of the Lord with the main thing in our heart and mind that we've come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you one thing, you'd leave here a lot happier than what you do. Guarantee it. But anyway, I'm going to get to what I'm going to preach here in a minute. I'm getting a part of it. But anyway, let me see if I can find where I was going to take off at. We're still in the first chapter. We just kind of paraphrased it and went through that, but that's where they're at. Now over in the 18th verse, that's before he made the woman now. And you know these doctors always bragging and coming up with this, coming up with that, doing something that they've never done before, that they might get praise. But I want you to show you something here. And the Lord said, it is good that man should be not. It is good that man should be. It is not good for man to be. Let me read that right. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the ground and all that. And then down in the 21st verse, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep fall upon Adam, and he slept. How many ever been put to sleep with ether? They've got a different way of doing that now, and that's very good, because I've had it. I've had both kinds and any kind that you think about. I get put to sleep, and my daddy always said the way they pulled teeth back in them days, they had a little mallet there, and they'd pick them in the head, and they'd pull a tooth, and they'd wake up. But used to, they used ether. And that wasn't too good a way to go to sleep. But the way they do it now, you can be talking to them, you're gone right then. But anyway, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and then he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. The woman's took from a man. Did you know that a woman's got one more rib than a man has? Everything you read in the Bible is verified if you'll just get to thinking about it and kind of read a little bit and study a little bit. You'll find out everything that the Word of God says is true. There ain't no doubts. Just tell you the facts about it. There ain't never been no doubts in my mind. Even when I was lost, it the word wasn't true. And Adam said, this is now my bone. Now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And She shall be called a woman because she was taken out of a man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They wasn't a bit ashamed. They loved to know, hear that voice whenever God came down and fellowship. That's the reason we was made anyhow. God wanted to come down and fellowship with us. But that fellowship, we'll see just a minute, was broke. But they was happy. They was naked. They didn't even know it. Didn't know they was naked because they had never known sin. Because they was made very good. Perfect. Everything that God's ever done has done it perfect. All right. Let me go just a little bit further now. If I can find the place where I'm going to catch in right now, so I won't be so long. Just a minute. I'm a little slower than I used to be. But anyway, we go down into the third chapter now, and then we're going to find some things here. Now I'm trying to just take my time, and I hope it's a blessing to you. I used to crawl around all everywhere, jump up and down on the pulpit, run off the pulpit. Now I can't even hardly get up here. Now we're going into the third chapter of Genesis now. Now we're talking about a serpent now, and this is one of the animals. Now the serpent was more subtile than the beast, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. Now we're looking at something coming in now that has never been on this earth up to this point. And the woman said unto the serpent, you can't deal with a liar. And you'll find there in the fourth verse, the first lie that was told in the Bible. And the old slewfoot, Satan, the destroyer, the liar, has tried to do something to get people to follow him. All right. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but you'll find a lot of buts in the Bible. And when you get to a but, you better take special notice to that, because it's a small word, but it really means something. But of the fruit of the tree, which is the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. They couldn't eat of it, or they couldn't touch it. You don't touch things of the devil. You don't listen to him. You don't follow him, because he's a liar and the truth is not in him. And we all are tempted. Don't get me wrong there. Now we're all tempted. We inherited this from Adam and Eve. Sin come in by Adam and Eve. Through one man, we die. Through another man, we live. And that is Christ Jesus our Lord. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. You ain't going to die. Well, did they die when they... Let me say this first. For God knoweth that in the day ye thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, what would they want to do that for? And they've been made perfect. They had everything. They knowed everything, because it's created like an unto God, wasn't it? How can anybody be took like that? Now don't blame this all this much on Eve. How many of you have been took? You had it all, rejoicing in the Lord, and all of a sudden you decided to try a little fruit off of that tree. The death tree. And the day you eat of that tree, and the day that you eat of that tree, you surely die. Well, did they die? They lived physically, but they died spiritually. And when God come down, they wasn't ready to fellowship no more. They seen themselves naked. They seen themselves naked before each other and before God. And they took off, and I don't know how big them leaves is. I've never seen a fig tree. I don't know how big them things is. I don't know how big the leaves is. But it said they sewed them all them leaves together to cover their nakedness. I wish this day and time, the way we're looking at things now, I wish they'd get a few fig leaves and sew just a little bit more on the bottom of their dresses. I preached a message one time up on the bypass. What are we going to call the church now? We're going to call it a pool hall, a big restaurant, burlesque shows. I don't go to church for stuff like that. I go to church to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. And if we don't do that, we ought to stay at home. We're wasting our time and everybody else's time. But anyway, I'll just throw that in there because it won't cost nothing. But anyway, after she sinned, and after that she'd done just exactly what the Lord told them not to do, because that's the reason that you got a choice, just like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, although they was perfect to start with, they still had a choice to do. They had a choice to live, or they had a choice to die. Let me ask the question. I do this, and sometimes it makes you think a little bit better. Which one of these was deceived? The woman or the man, or both? The woman was deceived. The man done it deliberate because he loved his wife good, because she's the type of the church. And Adam is the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was his bride. And Adam was not the one that broke over and took first, but his wife did, and he is willing to come to this earth like Christ did, come to this earth and die with her. And to die far. Adam chose to die far, that he might have her and do it and live with her and raise the children and the things, which is the curse that was put upon them. Now, I'm going to have to jump over here. I'm taking too much time. I want you to turn over to, I guess I said enough about that anyhow. Turn over to Genesis chapter 4. Now listen what this says. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And there's another verse I wanted to read first. Wait just a minute. The 21st verse of the third chapter. Now they knew that they was naked. They'd done sin. Eat of the tree of and the fruit of the dying one, the tree that you die if you eat. But there was another tree in there, was called the tree of life. And that's the way I've always said this. that it's a blessing to be able to die. It's a blessing because if God had left Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, eventually they would eat of the tree of life, and you'd been humped up like this and can't walk and all this year and get uglier and uglier all the time, because you'd live forever in that state of state. But God was gracious enough, he put a sword on either side that they not get back in the garden. You know something, I think about this a lot. Adam and Eve had it made, and really we've got it made also, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And if we'd obey him like we ought to and live for him like we ought to, this old world wouldn't be as bad as it is now. It'd be a good place to live, even in this earthly flesh. But we've all got the same thing that he did. We want to try this and want to try that. We want this and want that. And it's took us so far away from the Lord that many, many times you go to the house of God and you leave worse shape than you was before you got here. Now, I'll give you a good example of that. When I surrendered to preach, I bowed on my knees. I was dying. And I believe if I hadn't surrendered to preach, I'd have died. I go to the altar, bow on the altar. They all gathered around and started praying for me. I tried to pray and couldn't pray because I wasn't willing to preach and go preach like the Lord laid on my heart to do. So prayer was over. They stand up. All of them started coming around. I stood up with them. All of them were coming around and shook hands with me. I was worse shape than I was before I bowed. I was still dying, but see, the humans don't know the heart. They thought I was all right, but I wasn't. I was worse shape then than I was before. And then God moved in a woman's heart, shouted all over the church, and finally I wound up on the altar again. And nobody didn't have to bow with me this time. I was already down there thanking the Lord for saving my soul and putting his hand up on me to preach the word. And I was, at that moment, I was ready to go. And then I could stand up and they shake in with me and everything's all right. Many goes to the altar. They go and leave worse shape than they did before they come there. And I've done that lots of times. I've sat back there in the audience, and that preacher up there, everything he looked at was me. And I was getting down in behind somebody where he couldn't see me too good. You ain't never done that, had you? I've been that mean and that low down. But I didn't have to do that. We do things and suffer over things that we don't have to. If we just put our faith and trust the Lord, because he lives in us. He leads and guides us and sent a spirit to lead us and guide us in all truth. So why do we do that? I'll tell you why. You still got this old sinful flesh on you and it wants to be a disobedient to God. And the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Let me get to this and I'm going to close. I just want to bring this out. I hope I've said something that might help you and might bless you. I can't move around like I one time did, or I'd be down there with you. And I guess a lot of times we'd be in the altar rather than being up here preaching. I like to be honest with people, and I'm going to be. Like I told my wife, I said, I don't lie to you. I don't lie to nobody. Tell it like it is and let it go at that. You think, well, you got to hurt somebody. Truth won't hurt nobody. It might hurt for a moment, but the truth makes you free. Okay, let's look at the fourth chapter just a second. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. Now, what was she thinking about? She's the one that was deceived. What was she thinking about when Cain was born? Now, look back over to the 21st verse. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, what's that the type of? That's the type of the righteousness of Christ. That without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 22, somewhere in that neighborhood, 9:22, I don't remember right offhand. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, here's the status of the whole thing. It took the blood, the shed blood, and this is a reminder to God, he's the one that done it, and he's the one that killed the ram or the sheep or whatever's hung in that bush by his horns, and he took that skin and covered Adam and Eve so they wouldn't be naked. I've been covered since I'm about 13 years old with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never got over it. And from the day that I was born again, the night that I was born again, there have been a very few days in my life, even though I didn't even ever think about preaching, there have been a very few days in my life that I ain't read the Word of the Lord. Very few days. And I told Margaret the other day that there wasn't a very few days, but the days that I couldn't, I was gone or didn't have a Bible with me and I hadn't laid down at night. You know what I'd do? I'd quote scripture, see what I'd learned and quote. Just the ones that I know. I couldn't quote too much of the Bible at that time, but I quoted the one that I know most. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then this is a special one too. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this son, which is Cain, was born. And you know what his wife said, or Eve said, his mama said. Now listen, watch what she said. Now what was she thinking about when she said it? Bear Cain and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. What was she thinking about? She was thinking about that blood sacrifice that she taught her young'uns, and she taught them that it took a blood sacrifice to get forgiveness of sin. Now, she was wrong about Cain. You know, we get our ideas sometime too. And she was wrong about Cain, because Cain is a man of the earth. And so she'd already come to the conclusions that Cain was that righteous blood that would be shed on the cross of Calvary. Because you remember when God put the curse upon him, that it said in the, I believe it's the 15th verse, I didn't read it, but the 15th verse in the first chapter, I believe it is. Let me turn over and make sure. Maybe the second chapter. No, the third chapter. And I will put in between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. See, God had already taught him all this. And when the first son was born, which is Cain, she was mistaken. Now listen to this. And she again bare his brother Abel, And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. He was an earthly man. Now, what did he say about Abel? Not one thing. There's just another youngin' born to her. But Cain, she said, there's a man child that the Lord give her from the Lord. But it wasn't Cain. Abel come along. He wasn't even mentioned about coming from the Lord. Now, what does that look like to you? That looks to me like Abel could be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. To me it does. That Jesus wouldn't recognize as Jesus. He wouldn't recognize as the Son of God. They said, no, do away with him. And they took him to the cross and crucified him. And his blood spread up on the ground for me and you. Now, I'm quitting right now just a minute. I just want to bring this out. You go home and study this for yourself. It's more fun and more enjoyable to sit down and start studying this stuff yourself and getting the good thoughts from the Lord. And if I get a good one, I always try to share it with somebody. Now, Abel was the second son, which I believe is a type of the Lord Jesus too, because he was slain. And his blood started crying from the ground. And in process of time, Cain brought the sacrifice. He brought the fruit of the, I'll just go ahead and take, he brought the fruit of the ground and the labor of man. You may throw your money in the treasure. You may work and help everybody out. You may do this and you may do that, but if you ain't got the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, it's still good to do that, but that ain't going to get you to heaven. It takes the blood, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got some, and I know some, and I've had them talk to me. They said they're baptized when there's little bitty things. And I said, that won't get you there. And I had one to tell me, I'm satisfied with it. And if she's satisfied with that, you know where she's going to wind up at? She's going to wind up in eternal damnation. She's not going to heaven. It takes the righteousness and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to your heart to get you to heaven. How does it apply it anyhow? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now shall be saved. When I was growing up, they didn't teach us too much how to get saved. They was concerned about us, but they never just give us much class or teachings on how to be saved. I didn't know how to be saved, but I bowed down on that old bench that night, and I remembered what I'd read in the Bible or what I'd heard preached. Never read it too much until I got saved. But I sure did hear a lot of it from my mama and through the preaching that we've had in this church for years and years. But I called upon the name of the Lord. I didn't know what to say. I never tried to get saved before. I never even tried to pray before. I said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I don't know how many times I said that. And all of a sudden, something happened. And I went out of this church, a brand smack new young'un. Jesus Christ came into my heart. The devil moved out and Jesus Christ come in. But anyway, let me finish this up right quick. Abel wasn't recognized of anything. But he brought, then why did he do this? He'd been taught from his mama and his daddy that it took a blood sacrifice, and Cain tried to change it and bring the fruits of the world, which is his growth and all this, that stuff he grew in the garden and all this place, big fields and that, and that's what he brought. And he knew about the real sacrifice, but he didn't bring that. But Abel brought, he was the keeper of the sheep, and he brought a blood sacrifice. God accepted his sacrifice, but Cain, he refused. When you get to the, when you get to stand before God, if you ain't been washed in the blood, and if you ain't let the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ been applied to your heart, he's going to say to you, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And that's the saddest words I've ever read in the Bible. "Depart from me, I never knew you." But anyway, let me finish this up right quick. Now, let me see if I can find what I want right here. Look over 25th chapter now. 25th verse of the same chapter. And I want you to see what Eve said, then I'm going to sit down. Cain got his punishment. Cain killed Abel. And there've been a lot of catastrophes happened here in the chapter 4. But in the 25th verse, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called him his name Seth, for God said she." Now she said something about this boy. "Hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel." Why did she say instead of Cain? Difference, or ain't there? Abel died by Cain's hand. Now she's having another son, and she realized that Cain wasn't the Christ child to be named all the way down to Christ and a descendant of Christ. And she said, "God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel." He didn't say instead of Cain, but instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. "And to Seth," now listen to this, and I'm quitting. "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began man to call upon the name of the Lord." So it's been a working ever since. Run his bloodline on down. Grandma and grandpa gave us death to choose or life to choose. And I'm going to say one more thing now, and I'm quitting. I've been in this church for all my life except when the Lord sent me out different places. This church sent me out. But I remember my grandpa, and he's the only one I remember saying anything to me when I was bowed right there in that altar in the old church. He put his head down to my ear and said, "Be faithful." I ain't never forgot it, and it's still living with me. My mama, my lamp light, oil lamps and all the rest of the lights. She'd sit at night, open that Bible up when we was little fellers, and she'd start reading the Word to us. Watch what you're doing that for. To get us to know the true Redeemer. To get us to know where life comes from. And she taught me. My other grandpa, every one of his grandchildren will tell you the same thing about old Paul out in the barn praying every morning and every night. You hear him out there calling upon the Lord. Boys, I'm glad I was raised in a community that loved the Lord. I'm glad I was raised in a family that taught me about the true life, which is in Christ Jesus. If you've never been saved, and you know it, I know sometimes you'll sit there and knowing you ain't never been saved, but you'll hunker around the whole on to what you got, and it ain't worth nothing. Till it gets in your heart, is in my head when I was 13 years old up to 13, and when I got 13 years old, it got down in my heart, and I know that I'm truly born again, and I know when I die. If I go with the grave, I always said I'd go with the rapture, but there's been a few times that something struck me that looked like I wasn't going to make it to the rapture, but something hit me the other night, and I ain't been sick since. I'm talking about far as my heart concerned. I've been a check-in, I don't know how often, still the same thing. So I know who I believe in. I know my Redeemer, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've had a lot of objections prior here tonight. There may be somebody here that's in doubt. If you just doubt that much, you know what you need to do? Make sure before you leave this house, because you may not come back no more. You may not be here no more. You may not have the opportunity no more. And I ain't saying this to scare you, but if I scare you to death and cause you to get saved, I'll be happy about it. But if you ain't got the Lord Jesus Christ in here, you have never been born again. If you got it here, you're still lost. And I want everyone that will, because I need prayer, and I want you to pray for me. I desire your prayer. But let's pray that there won't be a soul leave here tonight that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ to free pardon of sin. And if you would, just come right on. Let's all bow around here like the old time way. We all get in the altar and start praying. I've been in the altar many of the time on Wednesday night. Brother Dale, I know, has, because he's a little bit older than I am. But he's seen a lot of these things happen, too. And most of the time we'd have somebody shouting all over the house, especially Sister Delphi Armour. She loved to pray. She loved to get around the altar and pray. She loved them old songs. But I had the kind of raising I've had. Be thankful that you're raised in a community that the Word of God was preached. I ain't talking about this stuff that they preach now. I've been praying, Lord, remove every one of them out of the pulpit that tries to use these perversions. And every one of the women.